four major viewpoints of the gospel, and we're going in that we're talking about the different aspects of what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the 3 days that changed everything. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be leading into the point of Jesus' death. And of course, we'll go through Resurrection Sunday, talking about his resurrection. So we'll lead up to that by the grace and help of God. Hallelujah. So today we're talking about victory over death. Why did Jesus die? Well, as we look at the communion table, ladies and gentlemen, you can see this represents something Jesus instituted before he died for us and after he died and was risen from the dead. He instituted this holy ordinance called communion, holy communion, however you want to portray it and say it. But in the context of Revelation to the Apostle Paul, we see the Lord instructing the Apostle Paul by revelation in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. He said, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death till he comes again." Why do we need to announce his death? Why do we need to pronounce and remember that he died? Because we have victory over death. Now, most people don't like to talk about death or dying, but this is an important aspect or viewpoint of the gospel we need to embrace and understand. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 16, we see what do we see is Jesus, who was for a little while was given a position a little lower than angels. In the New Living Translation I'm reading, should be in your handout. "And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor." Now keying in those three key phrases in reference to death. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, who for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children unto glory. It was only by right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Verse 11, "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters." Amen. "For he said to God, 'I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people.'" Verse 13, "He also said, 'I will put my trust in him,' and that is, I and the children God has given me." Verse 14, "Because children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood." Now remember, he said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." "For as only human beings could he die," "and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death." "Only in this way he could set us free from all who have lived their life as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham." Somebody say, praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55, we see in the New Living Translations, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Everybody say, victory over death. Glory to God. Why did Jesus have to die? To give us victory over death and the fear of death. The fear of death is the master fear. There's 3,000, what they call 3,000 plus phobias figures that are existence, 3,000 plus phobias that are existed or recorded in human history right now. And so they say there's two that you're kind of born with, loud noises and falling. The others are learned. And I don't know if you've heard that song before. I don't know who sings it, dear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. There's a song, there's a beautiful song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Well, see, the fear of death is the master fear that kind of lords over all the other fears. And see, this fear has been broken. You're no longer a slave to fear. So we see these viewpoints, which we'll cover in the next weeks coming. Today we'll talk about what Jesus did for us in his death on the cross. He ransomed us from fear, from sin, and death. He had to get us out of the bondage of sin and death. They run together. Amen? Sin came and death came by sin upon all men. For all have sinned. Amen? The second viewpoint is that Jesus died for us, that what Jesus did for us in his substitutionary and satisfactory act of redemption. So Jesus satisfied the claims of justice when he died for us and shed his blood for us. He redeemed us, not with gold, silver, precious stones, but he redeemed us unto God by his own blood. Glory to God. He was our substitute, our sacrifice. He satisfied the claims of justice. Hallelujah. Come on now. Someone say glory to God. His blood, Jesus said, God said, that's enough. That's good. Once and for all. He got dissatisfied with all those bulls and animals and turtle doves dying and shedding blood and all that blood around the tabernacle and the temple and all those things. But he saw Jesus' blood and he said, that's good. The blood prevailed in heaven. The blood overcame hell. Come on now. And the blood is to prevail in our hearts. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Like I say, all the precious, how precious is the flow that makes me what? White as snow. And the blood reaches to the highest and it flows through the lowest valleys. The blood that gives me strength. Woo! From day to day. He will never lose his power. Never lose his power. Never lose his power. And then number three, Jesus did what Jesus did for us in his resurrection from the dead. Friends, he was just not overcoming rigor mortis. He was overcoming the dead. Come on now. He led captivity captive and set the captive free. It changed everything when God raised Jesus from the dead. How does that affect us today? So we'll talk about that on Resurrection Sunday as the Lord allows. Praise God. And then what the Father did for us in his ascension and exaltation to the right hand of the Father. He raised him up. He highly exalted him, giving him a name above every name. Hallelujah. Highly exalted him. I mean, he promoted him to the highest position in the universe. He's a Lord Advocate General of the body of Christ. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Lord over all. Come on now. All truth is in Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. Come on now. Hallelujah. And then he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the center of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read the first 10 verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Everybody say gospel. The gospel is good news. Be like Paul, friends. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. What? The gospel. The same power that was in the event over 2,000 years ago is in the message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There shouldn't be any other gospel. Our gospel starts with Jesus died. Jesus came and he died. He was buried and he rose again from the dead on the third day. Come on now. So he said, "This gospel I preached unto you, which you also have received." It has to be received. When it's believed, it's received. "Wherein you stand." You can stand by this. Verse 2, "by which you are saved." You can be saved by this. This is the only way to get saved. Come on now. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "and then the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then also of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Somebody say glory to God. So the gospel produces faith. The gospel produces faith. The word of God is a living thing. When you're preaching or proclaiming or sharing the gospel with someone, the gospel's penetrating because it's alive. It's alive because he's alive. You're not preaching a dead message. You're not just preaching a historic event. You're preaching him. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Somebody say glory to God. It doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. Christ hath redeemed you. That's the good news. You don't have to wallow around in sin and degradation and disgust and disappointment perpetually. Come on now. Jesus brings a message that makes you glad. That he came, he died, he arose from the dead, and he lives forevermore. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. He has redeemed you by his own blood. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to serve the devil. You're no longer a slave to fear. Glory to God. See, it's good news that God has already helped you. That's what you tell people. God has already helped you. You got your head down in the dirt like an ostrich. The devil's beating you up every Sunday night and Tuesday and Wednesday. And every day in between. But you're no longer. You don't have to live off fear. Come on now. Somebody say glory to God. You can tell them the price has been paid and the prisoner is free. The curse of sin and Satan has been broken by the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say, glory to God. See, the curse of sin, the curse of sin brings death, and death by sin. The curse of sin. Well, you don't know what I did. You tell them the curse has been broken. You don't have to live. No, I wish I can get this. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. So God's masterpiece happened in Christ. So what God did for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the masterpiece. Amen? And so we must realize death has been conquered. Everybody say death has been conquered. Now Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 17 says, for we were, when we were still without strength, I'm reading out New King James Version, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely a righteous man will one die. And perhaps a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8, for God demonstrated his love toward us, for in that time we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, hallelujah, justified, but we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. When? When we're enemies. Through the death of his son. This is a doctrine of death right here. The Bible way. Not the fearful way, because I know they put all those horror movies, scary movies, to get you stimulated and fueled on the fear of death. That's why everybody hollers and screams at funerals. Everybody hollers and screams when people in the ICU and hospital. Everybody's panicking. Why? We're slaves to fear. I got quiet then. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved through by his life. Verse 11, not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as one man's sin entered into world, entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread on all men because all of sin. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death, listen, verse 14, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Somebody say, glory to God. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said of himself in New King James Version, I am he who lives and was dead. See, we serve a God who is alive. We serve a Lord who is living. All these other guys are dead. You can find them 86 somewhere in the earth. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. But our Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That's what he says. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. No longer Satan has it. That's a big deal. See, that Hades is a prison. And he led captivity captive. We were captive, everybody up until the time Jesus rose from the dead. Everybody was still in prison down there. Even when they died physically, they were still down in the heart of the earth. They weren't in hell per se, burning. They were in Hades, a place, a region of the dead. Are you listening to me? Paradise was locked up down there. They couldn't go to heaven. But Jesus said, I'm setting the captive free. Who was holding them captives? Death. He said, I got the keys now. I've got the authority now over hell, death, and the grave. That's why he says, oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Come on now. You don't have it anymore. I've got it right now. And because he has it, we have it. We have victory over death. We have victory over death. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. So friends, I want you to understand this, just simple understanding about death. Death has an assignment. Death has an assignment. Now we know purpose, simple definition of purpose is God's intended use for something. God didn't create stuff for no purpose. And when there is, you don't understand the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. So when Adam committed high treason and turned things over to Satan, now Satan took death and perverted it because of sin. So death got out of position and its intended purpose because it was under the wrong authority. Remember? We were slaves to fear. The fear of death is the master fear. People driven today by the fear of death. Their life is constrained and behavior is modified because of the fear of death. And they'll never serve God because they're under the slavery. They don't realize the prison is open. And the captives have been set free. And this is why, one of the major reasons why Jesus died for you and me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. But death has an assignment. See, you either fear death, that's negative motivation, or you can see it as an asset. Positive motivation. It doesn't matter which path you take, it'll always meet you at the end of the road. Right? We often say this life is preparation for the next life. Until you understand that, your life won't make sense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to learn about death so you can use it as a positive motivation and begin living for him. Amen. Now listen to me, just a little calm, I'm almost done. But you need to get this. We must come to clearly understand that the purpose of life is two things. Time is just a temporary interruption in eternity. You were created out of time, but you were born in time for a specific purpose in that time. See, death is supposed to be your servant, not your master. When you're finished, you transition. People didn't get that. Jesus got it right off the bat. He said, I got 3.5 years to go do. He spent 30 years of preparation and 3.5 years of ministry, and he finished. And he got up out of here. Didn't take him that long. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul said he got a revelation at the age of 30, went on the road to Damascus, and it took him 36 years of ministry. And in 66 years, somebody say 66 and a half or something like that, he was done. He said, I fought the fight, finished my course. Why? Because he kept eternity in focus. He knew death couldn't take him early. Even though they tried to stone him in the head and left him for dead, they raised him back up because he said, I'm not finished yet. Hallelujah. Everybody say, time is a temporary interruption in eternity. See, before you were born, now in this time, you were created in eternity in God's economy. God's out of time. But he manages both. He's not bound by time. You and I have a time limit. That's why he said about this table, for this cause many are weak, sickly, and many sleep. They die prematurely. They were a slave to death because they were a slave to fear. They didn't make death their servant. Now, the scripture tells all of us there is appointed to man wants to die. But friends, many people don't have a revelation. I set the appointment. You don't expect your appointment when you're tired and you want to go home. Now, when you're weak and sick, you do. Now, blessed be the saints that gone on be with the Lord. So many people died prematurely. But how many you want to finish? How many you want to finish? Jesus finished, so you should finish. I want to make sure everybody gets saved in my family. Then I'm gone. Don't try to preach to them on your deathbed. You got enough time now to do it. Amen. Don't waste your time going to the movies and try to entertain yourself. You're here to serve God. Amen. You're here to do God's bidding, the Lord's bidding on the earth. You're here to maximize the expansion of his kingdom and bring him the greatest glory through your life. You live for him because he died for you. We must also understand that, number two, the life and time in which we've been given is a preparation for the next life in eternity. And as we said, death has an assignment. This is true because God is a God of purpose who creates everything with a purpose. Nothing exists that God created that was not created by God. And because death exists, it must have a purpose. There are two definitions of death. I want to give it to you. I'm glad you asked about it. First, death is the extinction of vital functions to the point to where they cannot be renewed. You know, that is physical death. This definition applies to the lower order of life. For man, death is either the separation of the soul and the spirit from the physical body or the separation of man as an entity, body, soul, and spirit from God, his creator. So there is spiritual death, which is a complete totality where everything's separated from God, or it's just physical death, which is the separation of your human spirit from your body and soul. So scriptures tell us in Romans 5:12 that death is the penalty of sin. Now we read it before. Let's read it again. Therefore, just as one man's sin entered the world and death through sin. The wages of sin is death. Spiritual death comes first. Spiritual death is separation from God's life, God's power, God's peace, God's protection, and God's provision. You separate from God. Sin separates you from God. That is called spiritual death. And he told Adam, he said, when you partake of the fruit, you will die. Well, we know scripture tells us that he lived over 900 years physically, but he died spiritually in the garden. He separated himself from the life of God, from the power of God, from the peace of God, from the protection of God. Amen? Death, from God's perspective, must thus be separated of man from himself. He isn't so concerned with the length of your years as the state of your relationship with him. Somebody said, well, why did he die early? Many of us had questions. Why did he die early? Sometimes it's the best time for people to go. Brother Hagin said in one situation, he said that one guy, he said, and the Lord told him, don't pray for him. Brother Ken, you know what I'm talking about. He said, don't pray for him. He said, he's never lived right in for 3 weeks up until now. Now, how many of you know you're living right? It matters to God. He lived right and connected with God and not in sin all the time. Because see, some Christians even think, well, I can't help it. I got to sin. I got to look at bad stuff on TV. I got to have bad thoughts in my life. I got to say bad words out of my mouth. You know, I got to do all that ugly stuff that I know that's not right. What sin separates, not relationship, fellowship. When you break fellowship, it's because you've sinned. And death begins to work and lord over you. Death, separation spiritually, is separation from God's life, God's power, God's peace, God's protection, and God's provision. Are you listening to me? Y'all still good? All right. And so he told him, don't pray for him. He's got his life together for 3 weeks in a row where he hadn't had to repent and backslide over and over again. Now, God doesn't want anybody in that kind of situation. So in that 3 weeks, he told him. He was in the hospital. He was sick. Remember, for this cause, many a week and sickly among you. And so Brother Hagin was praying for him, and he told him, nope, don't pray for him. Because he's just got his life ready, and he's at the best state he'll ever be in his life. But he's ready to go. See, we talk about secret things belong to the Lord, but the Lord knows how to manage this thing. Somebody say, glory to God. This guy had 3 weeks of good living, and God said, that's the best it's going to give me. 3 weeks. And on his deathbed, he got filled with the Holy Ghost, with all his family around. Before he left. But he left prematurely. He left early. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he had his appointment pushed up early on him because he was ready to go at that point. Amen. Got his affairs in order. See, it would seem then the problem is not death, but the effect of sin on death. For example, sickness and disease are forms of physical death. It's many dying. Amen. Your body decaying is physical death working. Amen. Poverty, lack, and suffocating indebtedness and perpetual insufficiency are forms of financial death. And we know separation from God's life, power, God's peace, God's protection, and God's provision are the byproducts of spiritual death. So through sin, death began to do something it wasn't supposed to do. It began to stop man's life. What God intended to be a blessing became a curse through man's disobedience. So sin made death go in reverse. Instead of administering death, it is causing killing. And we see the killings, the gang killings in Chicago. We see the killings, the murder rates going up. Why? Death is running crazy. That's why people say, well, we don't need more police officers. We need more gospel. Because this is the power that's going to take care of the power of murder, the spirit of murder that's running around in these streets now. You got people even scared to go to certain sides of San Antonio. Why? The fear of death. The fear of dying. See, killing is death before the completion of purpose. Dying is the death after purpose has been fulfilled. We read it, if you've been keeping up with our Bible reading, Old Testament patriarchs, they give up, they turn the blessing over, speak words of faith and love to their families, and their covenant partners, they pull at their feet and curl up and give up the ghost. Why? They were finished. Hallelujah. See, death before the completion of purpose is murder. And it stops you from doing all that you came to earth to do. You didn't come to earth for no reason. You came to earth for a purpose. That was not the death's original purpose. We read, and we're seeing the end of Moses' life, if you're keeping up with the Bible reading. And Moses, God had to tell him, all right, Moses, you threw. You took him to the edge of the promised land. Now he told him what? Go die. He's finished. His work is done. That's right, Brother John. His work is done. I got y'all thinking real good. Hallelujah, by the grace of help of God. Glory to God. Everybody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
See, God designed death to produce life, not to stop it. I know this is heavy for some of y'all. See, when sin entered the picture, death lost its purpose. It ceased serving your life and began to rule it. Jesus came to get rid of sin and to deal with the one who is the source of sin. As we said, sin, sickness, and Satan are synonymous. Let's read Hebrews 2:14 through 15. Y'all get something out of this today?
Amen.
Verse 14 says, because children are the human beings made of flesh and blood. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. The Son also became flesh and blood. So why did he come? He came as a man so that he can die, so that he can pay our price and die our death, and be raised from the dead as the first begotten from the dead. Whoo, glory to God. He died to ransom you and me. Like the song says, he died upon a tree to ransom you and me. Our Lord turned our curse into a blessing.
Amen.
Glory to God. I miss some of those old, good old songs. But the word, amen. Our Lord turned our curse into a blessing. Our Lord turned our curse into a blessing upon the tree. He died for you and me. Oh, my Lord, turn my curse into a blessing. The curse was poverty, sickness, and death. He dealt with death. Amen. He became flesh and blood so that for as a human being could being, he could die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Now he has it. We read that in Revelation 1:18. Only by this way can you set free, he set free all who live their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So Jesus defeated death through the way of death. And then rose not to overcome just rigor mortis, but he overcame the dead. Spiritual death and physical death. And its forms and all of its manifestations. Somebody say, glory to God. Sin is everything that separates from us from God. So it's not so much that what we do or do not do, as it is in the attitude of our heart or our internal rebellion against the will of God. Thus, a person can be morally impressive, but still a sinner. You must be born again. And sin causes death to go crazy. Consequently, death is now out of position in many people's lives. It's no longer the termination of an appointment of a fulfillment of time as God designed it to be. Death has become the power that thwarts God's purposes for the individual by claiming their lives before they complete or even find their God-given purpose. For this cause, many are weak and sick, and many sleep. the suicide spirit that's running around. That's part of the death offspring, the crazy child of death offspring, that I want to out myself. I want to kill myself. Suicide's on an all-time high. Why? Because people are perverted by death, gone crazy. Y'all here? Y'all going home? Death, when it assumes the role of a servant, is really a graduation from this phase of life to the next. Psalms 116, verse 15 tells us, New King James Version, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, God saying precious, he's using a term that says it's valuable, it's important, it's esteemed. It's your graduation day. Now, our son graduates from UTSA in May, day before Mother's Day. That's graduation day from him from college. But your graduation day is when you finish your work and you transition from this life. Now, some people graduate with a chariot ride. That's with honor. You live your life and finish your life with honor and gave God the greatest glory through your life. We often say that phrase, or there's a song that says, my life is not my own. The scripture says that. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's. That means you live your life yielded to him. Surrendered to him. That's the greatest honor that you can receive. That's why I say precious, because it determines how you're promoted and how you graduate from this life to the next, to eternity. God, hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. See, he frees us from time and propels us into eternity. The death we know, we now know, rules instead of serving. Because it's out of position. Death has a sting, a power, and a victory where that's not a part of God's plan and purpose. So everybody that completes their purpose dies with peace and confidence. We know Paul says it. We're going to get ready to receive communion. For I'm ready to be poured out, 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, as a drink offering. Now, that's one of the big purposes of the church, for everybody to be ready to meet the Lord. Now, we're going to meet him by way of death or by way of transition at the rapture. But everybody needs to be ready. Everybody needs to be ready, doing what the Lord has called us to do. Paul said, I've been poured out as a drink offering, the time of my departure. Now, this word departure is an interesting word because it's not a word of we would call it in a nautical term, shipwreck, because it's a nautical term. He's saying this departure is a ship ready, not a shipwreck. He said, I'm ready to take the anchor off and cast sail because my ship is ready. Hallelujah. He said, "My the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished." Everybody say finish. Finish the race. I've kept the faith. What did Jesus say? Jesus said in John 10, 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment I received in my Father. Death had no hold on him, and it will have no hold on you as you stay in the will of God and you stay walking in the Spirit with God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. John 19, 30 says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Everybody say finished. And he bowed his head and gave the spirit. This is the peace and the purpose that God gives in death. And I close with this. Satan uses death for termination. God intended death for transition. I say it again. Satan uses death for termination. God intended death for transition. Let's show forth the Lord's death, his victory over death today as we receive communion. His body was broken. His blood was shed for us. He died our death for us that we might live. He broke the fear of death forever in and over our lives. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Brother Steve, you come get the elements. Hallelujah.